last night was, it was kind of creepy at the ACC last night. Raptors get the result, but there was a lot of holes you can poke in it. And we'll walk down that road with Jack Armstrong here. Jack, how you doing?
Sid, am I creepy too? I mean,
No, I'm not.
I'm getting a little nervous. I thought I was going to get thrown under the bus here.
No, you are the least creepy person I know.
Okay, so I'm all good then.
Yeah, you're all good. You're all good. First off, did you stand up when you saw DeMar disgrace Timofey Mozgov last night?
Well, I tried to, but Matt Devlin knocked me over. So he was going bananas, and in my attempt to stand up, I got knocked back down. So it was awesome. That was, your classic posterization, and one of those moments that'll obviously appear on the highlight video for a long time, and more importantly, DeMar will treasure the rest of his career. One of those moments that you get a kick out of, and really the arena was just rocking after that. That was just a brilliant play on his part, and he played an exceptional game last night. There's so much attention focused on, you know, Rudy Gay making the winning shot, and John Lucas and Alan Anderson were just terrific in the fourth quarter, making a lot of threes. But, you know, I thought throughout the game, I thought DeMar DeRozan really competed at a high level.
Jack, you got to respect a little bit guys like Timofey Mozgov, who consistently just take it from dunkers around the league and are still standing in there. It's like the old school Alonzo Mourning thing. Alonzo Mourning just would not get it through his head that occasionally you were going to get crowned. He didn't care. And for me, there's an element of respect there. You know, Timofey Mozgov at times knows what's coming, and it doesn't really concern him. And I kind of like that.
You know what? Wouldn't it be a pretty cool idea for Terrence Ross maybe to invite Mr. Mozgov with him to Houston? And, so he could be like the subject of a few posterizations. I mean, that would be pretty cool for someone to say, you know what, I'm going to give up my reputation and check my ego at the door and allow someone to just absolutely embarrass me in front of the world. and he's a prime candidate. He'd be a classic case.
That's perfect, Jack. Round two of the dunk-off is the Mozgov round. You invite him down to Houston and just have everyone tee off on him like it's the fifth hole at Pebble Beach.
No, and you know what? It'd be interesting because I think guys would be, you know, I said this the other day, and I think you'd agree with me. I think it's a lot harder dunking in a staged environment. It's kind of like going to the free throw line after you've been running around for 5-10 minutes and you're sweating, and now you got to kind of get cerebral and kind of use a different skill set, and it's kind of a totally different way of doing it. And now it's the same thing as dunking in a game. Usually it's intense, it's on the run, it's violent, and now you're in kind of a staged it's just a different feel. It takes something to get you going. And to have Mozgov there, I think, would get your engine going.
What's more difficult, Jack, dunking in a game like that or a rookie going to Houston and having the eyes of the basketball world upon him with everyone saying, do something cool? What's more difficult?
Well, I wouldn't know anything about dunking like that. I mean, 8-foot rim, I could give you.
Well, I don't know. I heard some stories, Jack. I heard some stories back in the day.
I'm a 5'11 power forward, dime a dozen. You know, beer league guy. But when you think for him, I think it's been a distraction for him. I mean, this guy's bread and butter as a pro is going to be as much, if not more, his ability to make the three, as it will be his dunking. Because if he's going to be a dunker, he's got to become a really good shooter, and he's got a chance to be a really good shooter. And the better you shoot it, the more people got to come out and play you, and then it opens things up for you. So I think for him overall, I'm sure it's pretty heady stuff. And Terrence is a wonderful young man, and he's a guy that kind of keeps his emotions in check and is very appreciative of everything. He's a good kid, and I think it'll be quite an experience for him, and I'm sure just to kind of be able to keep it all in stride and take it all in stride and keep his focus, which is going to be very important, because so many people have they're giving him their thoughts on what they think he should do, and yet I think for him he's got to channel it to the point where he says, okay, I've decided on these three things and that's it. I don't want to hear anything else. The rest of it's noise.
Jack Armstrong here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The Raps are in New York tonight. You can listen to the game here on the radio side. Smith and Jones, 7:30. Sportsnet Ontario has the Knicks and the Raps this evening. Also at 7:30, obviously. Jack, fill in the blank for me. The Raptors haven't had a guy like Rudy Gay since blank.
Well, I would have to say, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. I don't think they've had a wing like that since those guys. And we saw McGrady his final season. He was just kind of starting to scratch the surface. This is my 15th year as a Raptor broadcaster, so I got to see Vince from day one, and I saw Tracy in his last few years, and it was unfortunate that he left. He's a special talent, and but when you look at it, I think that he's someone that it's kind of a cross between the two of them. I don't know if Rudy Gay's game is as explosive as Carter's, but it's got a little bit of finesse and a little bit of force to it. It's kind of a good combination, and that was a little bit more McGrady's game than maybe Vince's game. But there's no doubt, that he's the best, the high-end type player that they've had in a long time. And he was awesome in the first quarter. I mean, I joked about it. I said, the guy's only got 13 points. Trade the guy. Get him out of the game. He's terrible, he was awesome in the first quarter, and then the whole thing started with all the fouls, and he really, just was a non-factor after that. But when you ask a guy to come in and he still is able to make the defining shot for you, I felt after the first quarter he was on pace. He was going to have one of those nights where he got high 30s, low 40s. He was playing that well. And so it was remarkable for me to watch him. For the game to just deteriorate and obviously have to sit for a long time, for him to still be able to do what he did, I think says a lot about his ability to fight through adversity and come up big when needed.
And great closers in history. You only need Rivera in the ninth inning, right? The rest of the game. If you tell me Rudy Gay goes 2 of 17, but one of those two is with 30 seconds to go, I could care less.
Yeah, well,
could care less.
I'm with you on that. And, the Raptors are going to see a guy tonight that and you think I'm going to mention Carmelo Anthony. I'm going to mention Jason Kidd. I think he's your classic guy. And forget numbers, but when you talk about a guy who's made just an incredible amount of winning plays, and it just doesn't have to be the shot. It's the steal, the deflection, the correct pass, the big stop, the big contest of the shot, the big rebound. He's a clutch player. Raptor fans can remember that great series with the Nets and the Raptors. And as much as Vince Carter and Richard Jefferson and all that with the Nets, Jason Kidd willed that team to victory. He was remarkable. And I think certain guys just have that feel and that stage presence and that confidence and that ability to elevate their game when the spotlight's on. And, kind of like that baseball player who's at bat in the ninth inning who fouls it off 8 times. And then somehow, some way, is able to get a ball over the second baseman's head and bring home the winning run. And it just, there, just certain guys have it. And again, in a day and age now of analytics and metrics and all that, and again, there's a place in every game for that. I think it's important. Yet, I still think that we don't spend enough time really respecting and being able to dig deeper and say, this guy does have it, and the numbers sometimes don't say it.
Jack, we got 60 seconds before we let you go. NBA trade deadline is in 8 days. Does Brian Colangelo do anything else?
I think if the offer is, strong and it reflects the fact that they're going to get back relatively good value for a player like Andrea Bargnani, it wouldn't shock me that they would do it. But I would say from a week ago to now, I would be more inclined to say that it might take place in the off season, where they see how this whole thing works out, and then they make a move come late June, early July, where people have a better handle on their luxury tax salary cap situation, obviously with the greater punitive luxury tax coming down the highway. Now, you know, Carlos Boozer has been mentioned. I don't know if anything's going to happen there. But the fact that Carlos Boozer, who's, I think, a very accomplished player with a very good resume, is mentioned in the same sentence as Andrea Bargnani, to me, that says that Bargnani's value isn't maybe as bad as people might think. And who knows, if there's a deal that can address one need or many needs, who's to say that they don't do it? But, again, you know, a lot depends on how things shake out in the next few days when GMs kind of knock it around over this weekend.
I just, Jack, I just think Colangelo's already got a taste for it this season, and I don't think he's done. I think he's got some serious irons in the fire, and I think within the next 8 days.
I think he wants to.
Yeah.
The question is, here's the thing, and I respect Brian for this. He also wants to make sure that the organization gets back proper value for a guy that he knows in a new environment as a third or fourth option at the next place is going to play a lot better. I'm convinced that you put Andrea Bargnani, let's say they did the Boozer deal, Sid. You put Andrea Bargnani with a healthy Derek Rose, Luol Deng, and Joakim Noah. Forget the other 11 guys on their team. I mean, he's going to be terrific. And I know Tom Thibodeau well. I've known Tom for over 25 years. He's going to have his boot up his rear end.
Well, that's the big
thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Andrea would blow up. He'd be terrific. So that's what Brian knows. So he's got to make sure that, you know, that new environment's going to help Andrea a lot. With that being said, he's got to make sure to protecting his franchise that he gets as much back as possible.